This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
The internet is changing the way we speak, sometimes in good ways, sometimes in not so good ways. Linguist Gretchen McCulloch spoke to Informer reporter Arian Potts about her new book, Because Internet, Understanding the New Rules of Language. Arian started by asking Gretchen how she got interested in language and linguistics.
Well, I think like a lot of linguists, I have a hard time turning the linguist part of my brain off. So if you get me at a party, and I'll be trying to listen to you, but I'll also secretly be kind of analyzing your vowels at the same time. especially when I was in Australia last year, I was like, oh, this is very interesting. I can't understand it. I have to analyze everything. so it was very fun. So I spent a lot of time on the internet, like a lot of people, and just seeing the ways people communicate online, sometimes something people be doing something that I didn't understand, I'm trying to figure out how to do that more, or figuring out when there were miscommunications happening or when there was something new that was going on, and wanted to know what was going on. And it seemed like, so I wrote a few shorter pieces about internet language, and it felt to me like there was more there that I wanted to explain in a longer format that I could really dig deep into, rather than these kind of one-off pieces that had to stand by themselves, and also that people would be interested in reading more about it. But one of the first things that I wrote about internet linguistics was for The Toast, the dearly departed website The Toast, and it was an analysis of the Doge meme, with the one with the Shiba Inu and the sort of spaced out Comic Sans, multicolored Comic Sans. And it's not really a current meme anymore. I'm not trying to claim that it is, but it was sort of thinking about how has internet language changed even since the earlier stages of the internet, like since the 90s or the early 2000s. There's a tendency to think of all internet language as kind of part of the same phenomenon. But like any linguistic variety, it also changes over time. And some of the slang that was current in the 90s is no longer what people say, or when people do say it, they say it kind of sarcastically. So, you know, using like GR number 8 to mean like, oh, that's sarcastic good. That doesn't mean like it's actually great the way that it might have meant in the 90s. Or using those sort of sparkles, you know, the asterisks and the tildes to indicate a sort of ironic or sarcastic enthusiasm rather than a genuine excitement is a shift that has happened in more recent years. One example that I also saw on Tumblr was someone saying, when I say STR number 8, straight people with a number 8 in it, that's this more kind of ironic distance that I'm sure I do not fully completely understand, but there's a relevant example for the show.
Yeah, in the early 2000s, there was a big thing about, you know, if you were gay online chatting, you might write boy, B-O-I. To indicate you were playful or something like
that. Yeah, exactly. Like indicate you don't take yourself too seriously. Or I also like to think of it as you're putting yourself very deliberately in a position where you don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to criticizing someone else's language by preemptively sort of doing something that someone might criticize you for. And therefore, it's kind of like when you tell a self-deprecating joke at the beginning of a public speech. They're sort of like, look at me, I'm down to earth. I don't take myself too seriously. This is the kind of social situation that I'm trying to create.
You talk a little bit about how queer people use language to sort of hide within, like it's a code, really. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so the portion where I talk about this in Because Internet is this idea that in the internet setting, a lot of things that are, a lot of times we're putting words out there, where a lot of people can see them, but we only want certain people to interact with them. We want to try to appeal to a particular audience, even when that audience isn't necessarily exactly the same kinds of people that as are seeing them. It's a subset of that. So your sort of classic example, and I think this was more true a couple of years ago, especially when people were still when younger people were still on Facebook, whereas these days a lot of younger communities have migrated elsewhere precisely to avoid this sort of circumstance. But there was at least a period of a couple years where you'd make some sort of Facebook post that you were kind of thinking of as for your friends, and then your mom or your uncle or your, like, you know, grandma or something would come on and say, "Hi, so-and-so, it's been long since I heard from you. Why don't you call me anymore?" And you'd be like, "Mom, I'm trying to talk to my friends here." You remember those days? And like, stop making me not look cool in front of my friends. Like, I didn't say you could kiss me that much. And I think now both people understand Facebook as a context. Like, if I see a comment like that on one of my friends' statuses on Facebook, I'm like, oh, this person also has relatives. I know how it is. I don't think badly of that person anymore. I'm like, oh, this is just this person's Aunt Brenda or whatever commenting, you know, like signing the posts and this kind of stuff. But I think there was a period when it wasn't necessarily clear that multiple generations would have Facebook, and where there hadn't been so much of a younger person's exodus to Instagram and Twitter and Tumblr and all of these places where you can just kind of post to a more defined group. Mm-hmm. When you were trying to kind of code your statuses so that they would, your parents wouldn't feel like they could get them enough, or they wouldn't even feel like they could know what was going on. And also as part of this, you know, there was a lot of controversies about, like, can everybody who sees your Facebook profile see which groups you were in?
Yeah.
So I remember people talking about at the time, like, oh, if you're in your, you know, university's, like queer youth, whatever group, or like, mm-hmm. you know, here's a bunch of like queer basketball players or something group, queer choir, like, oh, now your aunts and uncles can, like, suddenly realize that you're gay because they're seeing that you're joining these groups, and Facebook doesn't prevent that happening, kind of privacy setting wise. And I think Facebook has kind of, the privacy settings have changed a bit there, and the, you know, where people join groups has changed to a certain extent. But there is some people posting, like, okay, if I'm going to post song lyrics from this song, and my friends know that this is actually like a Tegan and Sarah song, but my mom just, like, thinks it's some words. Or, like, you know, here's this pop culture reference that I'm going to post from this, you know, show that was on last night that I'm from the L word or something.
Yeah.
And my mom's not going to get it.
Yeah, she's probably asking, what L word is it?
Exactly. Oh, it's love, Mom. It's love.
So, do you think... So,
This in a variety of contexts. You get this in a variety of contexts. So there's a queer use for it. There's a, like, teenage use for it, of, like, teenagers don't want their parents to be able to understand everything that's going on. Any kind of group that wants to try to hide something from one group in some context, you get this happening.
Is it in some ways sort of like a modern Pig Latin?
I mean, Pig Latin is another way of hiding stuff. It's not, and this sort of thing isn't a uniquely internet phenomenon.
Yeah.
I also think of it as, like, you know, if you have, like, a young kid, or you have, like, if there's a young kid in the environment, or there's a dog or something, and the dog has learned the word walk,
mm-hmm.
and knows that if you say walk, that this means to start getting excited. And so now you need to be able to talk about walking the dog with your other human. when you don't need the dog to get excited. So you might, like, spell it out loud. Like, are we taking the dog on a walk soon?
Yeah.
Or is your kid allowed to have some cake? You know, because you don't want this, like, 4-year-old to know what's going on. You're like, I found the code that the small children can't understand, and it's called spelling out loud. You know, Pig Latin, or sometimes shifting into another language. Or, you know, there's a variety of ways of sort of hiding things in plain sight. And sometimes pop culture references do them, and sometimes other formats do them as well. But yeah, it's not exclusively an internet thing, for sure.
Arian was speaking to Gretchen McCulloch about Because Internet, Understanding the New Rules of Language, available now. This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.